On the air, online, from New York City, border to border, and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, indeed. Hi, how are you? Happy Tuesday to you. Oh, man, the week goes by faster when you start on a Tuesday. This is the 10th day of July, year of our Lord 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. I was on the sick, lame, and lazy list yesterday, so thank you to John McGinnis for filling in. And we're just getting notified that the president, Air Force One, has just touched down in Brussels, Belgium, and I don't know where all the world leaders are that are there to greet him. I don't see any. I think they're all hiding under their desks as he has arrived. And on his way there, he has been tweeting. This is from 14 minutes ago. Let me go back to 2 hours. So he's been tweeting all across the Atlantic. And he says, many countries in NATO, which we are expected to defend, are not only short of their current commitment of 2%, which is low, but are also delinquent for many years in payments that have not been made. Will they reimburse the U.S.? Question mark. Then, 24 minutes ago, a recent Emerson poll said that most Americans, especially Hispanics, feel they are better off under President Trump than they were under President Obama. That's an e-poll, and their e-polls are not considered in the same vein as other polls that are taken by professional pollsters, but it's an interesting poll that he's pointing out. And then finally one from 15 minutes ago where he said the European Union, he's tweeting about these people as he's just on final approach, the European Union makes it impossible for our farmers and workers and companies to do business in Europe. U.S. has a $151 billion trade deficit, and then they want us to happily defend them through NATO and nicely pay for it. Just doesn't work! Exclamation point. So we're no surprise. No. So he's already going after the NATO folks, and rightfully so. I'm right there with him on this. Why have they just used us and our treasury and our tax dollars? They can pay. These countries aren't broke. I mean, there's 28 countries, I believe, and a lot of them are doing just fine. Thank you very much. Anyway, so he's going after them on all of that. So welcome to the program. Since we last left you, we have ourselves a nominee for the Supreme Court, and I thought, well, let's open the phones to you and find out what's your reaction, because I don't think my reaction is normal. It seems to me that there's two schools out there. One school is that the Democrats, there's a lot of them that are totally acting, I don't know what the right word to put it. Freaking out is what a lot of people are describing, but it's very strange. It just seems to me like, is everybody in the political world a child? Because they sure act very immature. Okay, so this is what you got. This is why elections have consequences. This is why controlling the U.S. Senate is very important for things like this. And I'm sorry, but don't get mad. You know, if you want to get even, in other words, go out there and elect your party and get out there and get active on electing people from your party and your persuasion and your views of the world and get them elected to the U.S. Senate, Democrat or Republican, independent, whatever you might be. That's how it works. And so when it doesn't work in your favor, don't cry about it. You're like children crying over this whole thing, spilled milk. So Donald Trump won. I know you're not over that. So get to work. And there's a lot of bad news out there. I've been hearing for quite some time from the political pundits out there that, well, the Republicans are an endangered species. That if you look down the road 10, 15, 20 years from now, oh, my gosh, the Republicans won't be electing anybody. And they base that on the 20-year-olds today. That the 20 years from now, they'll be 40. And they assume that they're not going to change between 20 and 40. I certainly think a lot of them will, but I don't know what the future is of the Republican or Democrat Party. Most people are sick and tired of both parties. But it really comes down to just getting your people elected. It's that partisan. And there's a graph out from Axios today that says Democrat Senate dream slips away. To win the Senate, Democrats, coming up in November, will need all 10 seats that they are defending in states that President Trump won in 2016. They need to win all of those, plus pick up two more. And so that doesn't look like it's going to happen. But this is in Axios today, AXIOS. You can go check it out for yourself. They have a list of all of these senators and that are running and which ones are expected to win. So it really does come. Look, the pendulum swings. And if you think that the Republicans are going to be in power forever, that's not true. States like New York and California and Illinois were Republicans are long forgotten. They will be again. They'll come back. It works. It really does. But my view on this whole Brett Kavanaugh thing, I want to describe this so I don't freak out some of you, but I think Brett Kavanaugh, there's too many people, and I brought some examples along with me today. There are too many people. Yeah. There's a bunch of people like Gillibrand and people that are freaking out. But there's a lot of wise political people that are on the left, that are Democrats, that are going, yeah, he's okay. He's not that bad. And that makes my ears perk up and go, what do you mean a Democrat is saying he's not that bad? And then I pick up a story from Bloomberg today. Kavanaugh resembles Roberts, but they're hardly clones. And if you're trying to match him up with Chief Justice John Roberts, and what's the buzz about John Roberts is that John Roberts is going to be the new Anthony Kennedy. He's going to be the swing vote in the middle. Well, if Kavanaugh is like Roberts, does that mean that Kavanaugh maybe is more moderate conservative rather than a hardcore conservative? But then I look at his record, and I look at some of his cases, the big cases and everything else, and I go, well, this guy sure looks like a heavy-duty conservative. But Bloomberg's writing, he resembles Roberts in many respects. He's comfortably ensconced within the Republican establishment. He was born and raised in the Beltway. The only time he left was when he went to school. Went up to Connecticut for Yale, and he's taught up at Harvard, up in Massachusetts. But other than that, the guy is a Washington product. That's all he knows. And so he is part of that establishment Republican, which is what a lot of people that are Trump supporters don't like. So I don't know how this guy, I mean, he's obviously, everybody, even on the far left, is going, This guy is really bright, and he's got impeccable credentials, and everybody likes him. And he talked about his personal life last night. Everybody liked what he had to say, and goes on and on and on about what a good guy, but that the only thing that the left has against him is that his ideology is conservative. Simple. So that's who he is. That is who he is. And I'm going, are you, any of you Trumpsters, have a problem with the fact that he is a Washington-born and raised product of inside the Beltway? Everybody thinks he's brilliant. Everybody thinks he's affable. Everybody thinks he's disarming. Everybody that's worked with him has nothing but good things to say about him. So, smart, charming, conservative. But I don't know how conservative he is, and that's where I say I think I'm thinking different than a lot of people. I've heard a lot of people on the left complaining about how this guy is way out there. I've heard people on the right saying this guy's great, and I'm thinking, I don't know if he could be the guy who surprises on a lot of votes by joining with, like Anthony Kennedy did, by joining with the liberal wing. Because if you read about the guy, even though he has a lot of conservative thoughts, the bottom line is this is a guy who examines the Constitution and interprets the Constitution. And how that mind of his works on the interpretation of the Constitution, in many cases, is certainly far on the right side. But there also could very easily be, like Anthony Kennedy, like John Roberts, where this guy comes down the middle and goes, I'm going to vote with people on the left. So, you don't know. Presidents do not know what they're going to get once they get somebody nominated and confirmed to the Supreme Court. And there have certainly been surprises in the past. What's your reaction to Judge Kavanaugh being given the tip of the hat? Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. We'll be right back.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Well, so we are learning a lot about Judge Kavanaugh, so I thought we'd add to the learning pile. His speech last night at the White House was, Washington Post says it was a remarkably political introduction speech. And I think the Post is right because of the fact. In fact, they are also pointing out that he might be a bit too much like the man he's replacing, Justice Kennedy, who was a swing vote. But so the speech last night, he talked about women in his life. He said, my mom was a teacher. In the 60s and 70s, she taught history at two largely African-American public high schools in Washington, D.C. Her example taught me the importance of equality for all Americans. If I didn't say it loud enough, two largely African-American public high schools. The president introduced me, he said, as Judge Kavanaugh, but that title always will belong to my mom. Everybody loves a guy who loves his mom. My law clerks come from diverse backgrounds. I am proud that a majority of my law clerks have been women. I mean, what difference does that make? But it makes a difference to some people. Says, I'm part of a vibrant Catholic community. Uh-oh. Because it wasn't that without the woman who was passed over was too Catholic for Dianne Feinstein. So he's going on, and I love, he talked about the CYO. Most people don't know what the CYO is. He coached his daughter's CYO basketball. CYO is Catholic Youth Organization. Every kid that ever went to a Catholic school knows about the CYO because they're the CYO leagues, are the Catholic Youth Organization leagues of baseball, basketball, whatever it might be, in various communities around the country. He name-dropped Elena Kagan, saying that she hired me when she was dean of the Harvard Law School. She hired Kavanaugh to teach there. So if Kagan, a devoted lefty, likes this guy, oh my gosh, what does that say to people who are, all the people that are out there yelling about this guy is so extreme? So he repeated all of these allusions to women in his life. And I think it was obviously because of the fact that everybody and their brother is jumping up and down about Roe v. Wade. He got me with the altar boy thing. He got me with the fact that he was trained by the Jesuits. So was I. And all of us that have been trained by the Jesuits are very proud of that. They're great, 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 great educators. They're terrific men. So, oh, by the way, Nancy Pelosi is fundraising on his nomination, saying that she... send me money and help me stop his nomination. I don't want to point out the obvious, but Nancy Pelosi is in the House of Representatives. She's not in the Senate. The only people who have any say in this are in the United States Senate. So, but you send her money, and by golly, she's going to make sure and stop this nomination. So. Who knows what's going to happen? Nominations are in the grilling. Will begin in as soon as they can. Obviously, Mitch McConnell is going to try and hurry this up. The Democrats are going to try and slow it down. They do have a good reason. They've got 300 cases, opinions that he has written. He's been on the circuit court bench for 12 years. So, besides that, he was also the staff secretary to George W. Bush, which is not a clerical position. That's a very high, important position within the White House. So, he's got writings from there. So, there's a lot of stuff. And they're going to, I mean, he's just going to have to be patient and charming as they try and beat him up. But the more they beat him up, I think the more it makes them look bad. So, there actually may be a strategy to dragging this thing out closer and closer and closer to the midterms in November and then pull the vote and have him nominated, have him confirmed, and the Democrats will look like whiners, and the Republicans will look successful. At least if you're a political analyst, that's one way to look at it. Phone number is 855-295-6600. We'll be right back.
Time all the time with Tom Sullivan.
Prime time it is. Happy Tuesday to you. Talking about the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to be the Supreme Court Justice. You can follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. And I got a tweet. Where'd it go? She didn't erase it, did you? Deirdre sends me a tweet and says, Amy is only 46. You have to be 50 to be a U.S. Supreme Court judge. I sent her back a reply going, I don't know where you got that from, but wherever you got it from, you should stop using them as a source because they're sending you fake news because there is no age requirement to be a justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. There are also no requirements that you've been a judge on any court. And I believe three justices never served on any other court. And you don't have to be a lawyer. You can be any age You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to have served as a judge to be on the U.S. Supreme Court. Then I get the note from who was it that sent the note about Harvard and Yale? Very upset about the fact that everybody is from Harvard or Yale, and I agree. Every single person on the U.S. Supreme Court today has been at Harvard or Yale, one of the two. They're great law schools. I don't know. Hi sends me a note, says, simple. Harvard, Yale grads are connected to the money and policies that run the world. No, they're maybe, but they're really smart people that are connected, okay? You can't get in there unless you've got some brains. And McDowsman says, this morning I heard the new SCOTUS confirmation should be wrapped up by October 1st. What? Why should this take more than 2 weeks? Sounds like a lot of BS. Well, I think there's some strategy to trying to get it closer to November. I really do. Phone number is 855-295-6600. This is at the White House last night. Brett Kavanaugh saying he's looking forward to explaining his views to the senators who will be voting on his confirmation.
Tomorrow, I begin meeting with members of the Senate, which plays an essential role in this process. I will tell each senator that I revere the Constitution. I believe that an independent judiciary is the crown jewel of our constitutional republic. If confirmed by the Senate, I will keep an open mind in every case. And I will always strive to preserve the Constitution of the United States and the American rule of law.
Okay. So, I mean, preserve the Constitution, I think that's the most important part. But he also emphasized an independent judiciary. So he may not be going down the road. I'm telling you, go back to Sandra Day O'Connor and Justice Kennedy. Both of them, Reagan appointees, both of them voting on in favor of Roe v. Wade, of banning abortions. So you don't know what you're going to get. You just do not know. And something tells me, I don't know why, because his writings are very conservative, but something tells me that this guy, Kavanaugh, is going to be a lot like Anthony Kennedy and Sandra Day O'Connor. Dershowitz talking about Roe v. Wade. Alan Dershowitz said last night it would be a bad idea to overturn Roe v. Wade.
I do not believe Roe versus Wade will be overruled. I think it will be chipped away and made less powerful, and women will have difficulties getting abortion, but it would be absolutely foolish to overrule Roe versus Wade. It would be bad for the president, ultimately bad for the Republican Party, bad for the Supreme Court, and I think there are smart enough people there to realize that the real harm they can do to a woman's right to choose is to chip it away and let states like Texas and other states impose such difficult barriers. And they can do that while living within judicial restraint. It's already happening.
Yes.
And Kennedy stopped that a little, but he didn't stop it completely. So I think we see a process that begins and will exacerbate now over time, but it won't be as dramatic a change. Certainly with Kavanaugh, it won't be as dramatic. If it had been Judge Barrett, I think we might see an ideological, dramatic change in which she would vote clearly to overrule versus Roe versus Wade. I don't think you're going to see that with Kavanaugh.
Yeah, the most they're talking about is giving it back to the states. Leonard Leo, who's the head of the Federalist Society, which is the group that gave the list to President Trump, he was asked if he thought Roe v. Wade would be overturned.
No. First of all, nobody really knows. We've been talking about this for 36 years. Going all the way back to the nomination of Sandra O'Connor. And after that 36-year period, we only have a single individual on the court who has expressly said he would overturn Roe. So I think it's a bit of a scare tactic and rank speculation more than anything else.
I agree. I don't think it's going to be overturned either. No matter what your feelings are about abortions, I don't think it'll be overturned. The one judge in the last 36 years who has expressed a desire to overturn it is Clarence Thomas. Nobody else on the Supreme Court has ever uttered a word about overturning Roe v. Wade. But the president, this is back in 2016 during the campaign, he was asked about Roe v. Wade.
Do you want to see the court overturn Roe v. Wade?
Well, if we put another two or perhaps three justices on, that's really what's going to be, that will happen. And that'll happen automatically, in my opinion, because I am putting pro-life justices on the court. I will say this, it will go back to the states, and the states will then make a determination.
Yeah, I don't think it'll get overturned. I really don't. But what's your opinion? Phone number is 855-295-6600. John in Nevada. Hello, John. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Thank you, Tom.
You bet.
This nomination might be dead on arrival due to the fact that Judge Kavanaugh wrote an opinion in the year 2009.
Yeah.
No president, regardless of what he did in his personal life or in his political life, could ever be indicted for any crime while he was sitting as president. And so I think a lot of speculation is that Donald Trump picked this man because that's his get-out-of-jail-free card if this Mueller investigation goes full cycle and starts coming down with thousands of indictments for things that he's done that it will eventually go, as it did in 2000 with George Bush Jr., the Supreme Court finally said, okay, you're the president. We decide that you're the president by a vote of 5-4 based on appointments that his father had made back in 1988. So I don't think the Democrats are going to allow this man to sit on the Supreme Court.
Well, I've got news for you, John. What you're repeating is absolutely false reporting. It is absolutely false. What Kavanaugh wrote in 2009, in the piece that he wrote, he was then a newly appointed judge, and he wrote that Congress might pass a law that would protect the president from investigations and indictments while in office. That's not the part that that Democrats are focusing on, because Kavanaugh was saying that he thought it was a bad idea to go after the president. Not at all. He was looking at it from a legal and constitutional perspective, and he wasn't saying the court should find that the president shouldn't be investigated. It was absolutely to the contrary in that writing. He was saying Congress should pass a law ensuring the result, because without it, the president was wide open to being investigated and maybe even indicted. So I hate to break your bubble, John, but it's absolutely 180 degrees the opposite. He said Congress is the only one who can pass a law that would protect the president, and they haven't done it. And without that, the president is wide open to investigation and indictment. We'll be right back.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
Oh, my. Thomas One sends me a tweet that says, agree, Roe v. Wade safe with Kavanaugh, also Second Amendment safe. Not hardcore right, but fairly solid, I think. Was not my first choice, but will certainly be okay. And Gags of Gaming says, Tom, I'm actually surprised you didn't go with Amy Barrett, considering her background, which would have been tougher for Dems to oppose, and she was only 46. Missed the layup by Trump, Kavanaugh's an elitist Bush crony. He's 53. Yeah, Gags, I suspect he will get at least one more pick, maybe two more, on the Supreme Court. I think Amy Barrett's going to be the next one. I think he'll go with her next. But this, listen to some of this. This was off, I got this off of MSNBC. Peter Werner from the Ethics and Public Policy Center. A lot of people that don't like Donald Trump, including Peter Werner, who was an anti-Trumper, says this actually is a very good pick.
Well, because I think that he has intellectual and moral integrity. He's extremely smart, very well qualified. His opinions are outstanding. I'll give Donald Trump credit. He picked someone who is the antithesis of himself. He's a person that is, as I said, intellectually and morally outstanding. I knew Brett in the White House. He was staff secretary. Before that, he was worked in the legal counsel's office. He's meticulous. He's calm. He's temperamentally conservative. He's reliable. Everybody who worked with Brett had a very, very high opinion of him. So I really do think he's a spectacular pick. I am a fierce critic of Donald Trump, but I'm capable of saying when he does something right, and I think in this case he did something right.
Fierce critic of Donald Trump, and he did something right. Akhil Amar, he's a law professor at Yale. He says Kavanaugh is a good pick, even from a liberal perspective.
For the same reasons that Judge Garland would have been excellent. He's very well respected across the spectrum by lawyers, judges, scholars, the justices themselves. You'll hear from one of his clerks in just a moment. He sends more clerks to the Supreme Court than anyone other than Garland, and he sends them to justices across the political spectrum, which suggests that the justices themselves across the spectrum respect him, as do scholars. He is a scholar himself. I think he's very thoughtful and open-minded. And I say this to my friends and fellow Democrats, be careful what you wish for, even if you were able to derail this. I think you get someone good, perhaps, but not as good as Brett Kavanaugh.
Translation, in other words, he's not that far right wing. Is what this Yale professor saying? He's not. Don't get rid of him because you'll get something farther to the right than Brett Kavanaugh. And then Brett Stevens from the New York Times says that Kavanaugh and Anthony Kennedy, very similar people.
Look, Kavanaugh was a clerk for Kennedy, and it must have pleased Kennedy to know that Kavanaugh would have been a likely successor. And by the way, Kavanaugh is, I suspect, will, if he's confirmed, look like a justice in the mold of Kennedy, which is that he's not going to be a doctrinaire conservative. He's capable of thinking for himself. He was not the most, he's not always the most conservative judge on every single panel. And some of his rulings, some of his thinking, but the one that keeps coming up, which is his belief the president should be immune from certain investigations and civil suits, that was written in 2009 when President Obama was president. That may be a style of thinking that will serve a Democratic president far into the future once Donald Trump is in the past. So I agree with what Pete Wehner just said. I think he's a terrific pick, and I think he's not the hill that the Democratic Party wants to die on.
Yeah, but I'm going to they should not die on that hill. That's Brett Stevens from the New York Times. Cory Booker is your typical not very smart senator. He's a Democrat from New Jersey. He's not the brightest guy out there. And he, even though everybody from the left is that I just played for you, is praising this guy for his intellect, his moral integrity, the respect that he has from everybody left and right in the judiciary. Cory Booker says, oh, no. The president picked Kavanaugh to protect himself.
He picked the one guy who has specifically written that a president, in fact, should not be the subject of a criminal investigation, which the president is right now. So this seems to be, of all the people, the most self-serving person he could choose in order to protect himself from this criminal investigation.
He got it wrong. John and Reno got it wrong. A lot of people are getting this totally wrong, that Kavanaugh wrote the fact that if you are going to investigate the president, that unless Congress writes a law that prohibits it, it is wide open. And remember, he worked for Ken Starr as a young lawyer, and Ken Starr was investigating a sitting president. So, I mean, everybody takes this thing he wrote in 2009 and have got it totally backwards. He wrote, if a law by Congress is necessary to fix the problem, it follows that without such a law, it is perfectly permissible under the Constitution to investigate a sitting president, as Ken Starr did. Kavanaugh was not saying that the president is protected. He's saying Congress unless Congress passes a law saying the president is protected, he or she's not. But everybody seems like Cory Booker, not the brightest guy in town, got it wrong by 180 degrees. Let's get Bill in here from Carson City, Nevada. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing today, Tom?
Doing good.
Yeah, I don't think they'll overturn the Roe, the abortion. I think they'll make it harder. Because instead of being an 8-week thing, make it like a 5-week. And hopefully they can make it to all abortion clinics also has more opportunities for women to learn instead of an abortion, maybe adoption, give them more ideas.
I don't think they'll get into any of that. I don't think they'll touch. Now you're talking about the court setting policy. I don't think this court and this particular judge doesn't want to have anything to do with judges setting policy. I think the very most is that they'll say this is a state's right, not a federal right. Where in the Constitution does it talk about abortion? It doesn't. And the judges ruled in Roe v. Wade, it was about a woman's privacy, about people's privacy. So I can see them giving that back to the states, maybe, but I'm not even sure they're going to go that far. And I don't think they'll put limits on it.
And also Kavanaugh, when President Trump nominated him, I think that showed how true of a president that he is on caring about America and not about a party. He picked the person that he thought would be the best for the job.
Yeah, yeah.
Not someone that's so far to the right that you can't see the left, but someone who will look at it the way it needs to be looked at.
Well, it'd be nice to get the court away from politics and into, instead of a liberal wing and a conservative wing, get it to where they're all constitutional experts. But you got the last word for the hour, Bill. I appreciate the call. We'll be right back.